Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I have no reproof, I have no correction, but I feel that the Lord has given me something that is instruction in righteousness. You know how there's certain subjects just kind of don't want to go there? People in general don't like the subject of judgment. We don't like the subject of hell. If we think we're going to go there. Yeah. Don't like to talk too much about death. Really get disturbed when the preacher talks about hypocrisy. Oh, yeah. And being a hypocrite. Well, I want to talk about one of those subjects today. And it's an afternoon service. If you want to take a nap, that's your business. I want to talk about heresy. Anybody know what that is? Everybody knows what heresy is, right?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
I believe I have a definition of that. What it is to go against the religious doctrines of an orthodox nature. In other words, it's been a proven doctrine, and then to turn and go against it would be heresy.
Heresy is holding a teaching or a doctrine that is contrary to the accepted dogma or doctrines of the church. What the church accepts, what the church believes. Do you have a better definition? Why? Welcome to bring it, give it a, put it out. I'm going to support what I have to say, which I think is a good idea, by a lot of scripture. Yeah. And believe it or not, Apostle Paul has a lot to say about it. Yeah. I love the Word of God.
Yeah.
I love it. Give my life. Yeah. To go wherever the Lord would have me to go to minister the Word of God. I've even been to Honduras, and I sure didn't want to go there. But I love the Word of God, and I love souls. And I know that anyone that handles the Word of God is responsible, will be made responsible someday, to have told the truth whenever they minister to souls. That is of utmost importance, to tell them the truth. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last days." So that, to me, makes the Word of God very important. Because it's going to be my judge one of these days. Before I say a whole lot, I'm going to give you some scriptures. You can write them down if you want to. Study them yourself. I think the first one that I'm going to read is First Timothy, the first chapter. I'm going to let the Word speak for us. And beginning right at the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, and out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. The fourth chapter of 1 Timothy he exhorts Timothy in the 14th verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's a pretty solemn charge, isn't it? Take heed. I'm going to give you a warning, Timothy. When you handle the Word of God, and when you're speaking to others, continue in the doctrines. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself, and I believe he was talking about his soul, and them that hear thee. That is what we're after. We're after the souls of men and women. I will have other scriptures as we go through this, but I do want to read one more found in 2 Peter. The second chapter, beginning at the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want to read one more, found in Romans, the first chapter, and the 18th verse. Folks, these are some pretty solemn scriptures. 1 and 18 of Romans says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In the Greek, that word hold means withhold, keep from. So I could say, who withhold the truth in unrighteousness, according to the Greek. We are just as accountable and chargeable if we know the truth and we choose to withhold that from God's people. remember many years ago, one of the ministers that we were discussing something, he said there were some things he just didn't really want to preach. And I said, well, join the club. There's just some things that I don't really want to preach either. But if it's in the Word of God and God lays it on your heart, you got to do it. I said, we got to remember one thing. This is an all-out war. The devil does not understand diplomacy. Diplomacy is used to try to avert a war. This is what I told him. It is used to try to avert a war. Men sit around a table peacefully and try to work it all out before the fighting begins. I said, the fighting has already begun. The enemy is just as desperate as we are trying to make heaven. The enemy is just as desperate to try to deceive our souls and cause us to be lost. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, yesterday afternoon, Brother Travis used some very good scripture, but he reminded us, or Paul reminded us in the 20th chapter of Acts, that there will be men rise even among you. And he was talking about the wolves. There would be men rise even among you. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Now, the reason that the Apostle Paul knew so much about this subject is because he had to deal with it. This is one of those things where we, in our minds now, we have them. I know what kind of a mindset we have on these kind of things. Well, I don't want to believe that anyone is a heretic. You know, someone, they may be off a little bit, but they're trying, and you know, we want to encourage them, and we want to do this, and we want to do that. I have some scripture here today to tell us how to handle and what to do with heretics. It's in the Word of God. Every soul is precious, and I don't want to lose a one. But if you'll search it out, I'm gonna tell you, you search it out on your own, and you see the ones that Paul dealt with, and you come back and tell Brother Larry if you can find any one of those that he dealt with that ever changed their hearts and came back and walked the way that they ought to walk. Show me one of them that ever humbled themselves and ever came back into submission or into subjection to the brethren and laid down what they were teaching. Find one for me. I haven't found it. I'm not saying it's in there, but find one for me. When the enemy gets a hold of someone, well, there's a scripture coming to my mind, found in 2 Thessalonians. The 2nd chapter and 10th verse, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's scripture. For whatever reason, someone that does not receive a love for the truth. Now, we have what we call the Church of God. The Bible says that the Church of God is God's church. Yeah. Paul did anyway, in Acts 20 and 28. Yeah. And he told us to feed the Church of God. And he, I believe it, another place, didn't he say the Church of God was the pillar and the ground of truth? Yeah. We're living in a time, and you all know it, where the enemy is trying every way that he can to pollute the truth. Yeah. And if I draw a straight line on that board, straight up, And I just start down here just a little bit, a tenth of an inch. Start going deviating from that straight line. By the time I get up here, I'm going to be way over there. The devil loves to put a little bit of falsehood and mingle it with truth. That's why we see all the churches out there on every corner, all across the country and the world. Okay. In the first reading, 1 Timothy, the first chapter, we see some of the characteristics of heresy portrayed here. Teaching other doctrines than what they had received. It said up there in the third verse, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. It is possible for us to read the Word of God, search and seek for understanding. I believe it's possible to honestly miss the mark. But folks, the heresy is a spirit. And it is a spirit that enters into the heart of that individual that they have no intention or desire to worry about missing the mark. They have an agenda and a purpose in mind. The characteristic of the church is to teach the old paths, isn't it? Which have been handed down by those that went before. Now, I've heard folks say, we don't need to worry about, we don't need to hold on to those things that have been handed down to us. Why not? Paul said to continue in those things. He said, remember the things that you have learned as a child. Isn't that what he said? And hold on to those things. I know what I learned as a little boy growing up from the old time ministers. I believe they had power with God. I saw signs of it. I saw it lived out in people's lives. And I believe it was the truth. And I don't want to see it changed. God doesn't want to see it changed either. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, when he was beginning to speak of the ordinance of the bread and the wine, he said, those things that I have received of the Lord, I now deliver unto you. The things that we have received, folks, is what we need to deliver to the saints, to the church, to the people. To invent new doctrines and to preach things of one's own choosing is the spirit of heresy. That's the spirit of heresy. Now, I trust this little time that we spend this afternoon will be valuable to us. Because I know, we all know what the devil wants to do, what he's trying to do. And I know this too, you need to pray for me because the devil don't like this at all. But it's in the Word of God. Amen. And it's a fact that it's something that we are facing today. And I'm glad the brother brought that out yesterday afternoon. I feel that gives a foundation and a support to what the Lord wants to say today. It is the characteristic, and the scriptures are in here, of heresy to start curious questions, not with a view to edify, but for the sake of displaying subtlety in disputing and keeping up controversy and a war of words, and factious partisanship. We'll break that down for you. Factious means to cause dissension. Back in the day of AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed, Jesus had wept on it over Jerusalem and told them that he was weeping over them. The day was going to come when every stone would be thrown down, and it surely was in AD 70 when Titus came. There were two or three factions in that city that were warring against one another. They, for some ridiculous reason, they even burned down the storage bins that held all the grain for food. And those people, many of them died in a famine because there was no food. They died from hunger before Titus ever got in there. So faction, it causes dissension. Someone that is factious is not easily entreated because they have their own agenda. They have a mindset of their own. And they're not willing to submit and sit down and discuss and listen or be in subjection to someone that may be a little older or a little wiser and understanding, and they're not willing to do that. Partisan means to take a side. Often unreasonable, emotional, and support or follow a person or a cause. Factious partisanship. The unity of the church and the agreement among the brethren is the last thing that a heretic thinks of. That's the last thing on their mind, is unity of the church and of the brethren. They are generally puffed up. Folks, I don't know what's going through your minds, but I want you to know what's going through mine. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just teaching a little lesson this afternoon on heresy. Because it's real. They are generally puffed up with self-importance, desirous of being leaders, despise others, and treat with contempt all who will not follow them, and substitute vain jangling for the words of truth and soberness. Now, vain jangling is in the sixth verse of our first reading. There is an arrogance combined with an ignorance. It is a leading feature of a heretic. And his method of handling divine truth is a display of both of those, arrogance and ignorance. The heretic handles the things of God as matter for mere intellectual contest apart from reverence and godly fear. Do you understand that? He handles the things of God as matters for mere intellectual contest apart from reverence and godly fear. He walks in open disobedience to God's commandments, and yet he thinks himself competent to judge of God's nature and attributes. He darkens his own soul by sin and yet dares to approach the mystery of godliness. He is someone that in his mind feels that he has it all together. He's someone that in his mind, you see, the devil does this thing. The enemy has done this. But first of all, in some form or another, we give ourselves over. We have to give ourselves over to this. Because they receive not a love for the truth. For whatever purpose, you can give yourselves over. And there's places where God gave them over, isn't there? God gave them over to strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Well, that was right over there where we were reading in Thessalonians. And I said this before. It is the characteristic of the heretic that he rarely, if ever, repents and returns to the faith that he denied. Right here, I want to say something. Sister Alice is sitting here. Her father made a statement many years ago. And he said, those that go away from the truth and get involved in something else, and when they and for some reason, whatever it is that they decide or choose to come back, he said, the only way you will ever have them to be beneficial in your congregation is to come back by the way of the altar and by hands laid on. That's almost verbatim. I've listened to it so many times, of what Brother Isaac Chandler said, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, and I believe the Scripture supports it. And he also said, if they do not do that, you will have them back in body or physically, but you will never have someone back that you can work with and will be in submission and subjection to authority in the congregation. It is the characteristic of the heretic that he rarely, if ever, repents and returns to the faith that he denied. First Timothy 1 and 18, right here. We're right here. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. The prophecies that went before. The old teachings, the old doctrines, the old truths, the old standards, the old verities. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know, I don't like to think of this happening to anyone either. I sure don't want it to happen to me. But nevertheless, it must have happened. And I believe that it still happens. And God wants us to have some understanding on these things. And He wants us to be aware of these things. He said that some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck of their faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He speaks of them again another time after he had spoken to them and dealt with them, and they still would not humble themselves. And now he says, I have delivered them unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's very strong language, isn't it? That's not the only place that Paul ever said he delivered someone unto Satan. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the individual in the church that was committing fornication and they didn't deal with it, and he dealt with it, and he committed him unto Satan that his soul may be saved. He said, in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is serious. What I'm talking about this afternoon, in spite of godly discipline ministered to them for their correction, we find them here still found subverting the faith of many. Folks, that's a serious charge. Subverting the faith of many and withstanding Paul in the latest mention of them, right here. Most generally, this shipwreck of faith is total and without remedy. Pretty serious. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I don't know if this is a sound statement or not, but I believe I'd almost die a sinner. Rather die a sinner than die in that type of shape. I guess it won't really matter once you get into eternity. You're still going to the same hell.
I believe there's different.
I believe that God's true ministers, and I still have more to say about it. I don't believe I'll be up here real long. is to teach sound doctrine.
Yes.
There's something else coming to my mind. Sister. I can't go two different directions here in my mind. Sister Alice said the gospel in its truest form gives life. And we say amen to that. I believe that we are to continue today to teach sound doctrine in its preceptive or practical form. The end of the gospel, the end of the word, folks, is love. Love to man. Love to mankind. Practical religious teaching has a tendency to unite men in love. It is hard to maintain brotherly love in the presence of active differences of doctrine, isn't it? It's hard to maintain brotherly love in the presence of active differences of doctrine. You know, I was talking to a brother. Brother and I was talking this week, and I said, the devil is taking advantage of us in one way, in several ways, but in one way that he's taking advantage of us is he is causing suspicions to be in people's minds. Being suspicious of one another. It's impossible for us to have unity and brotherly love when I'm suspicious about my brother. But now there is a difference between being suspicious about something and knowing a fact about my brother. And once again, I believe I mentioned maybe yesterday morning, I want to caution you on what you know. You may think you know, but you don't know it all. Or you don't understand the whole picture. And I'm talking about understanding the whole picture. You know how to do that? You go to the individual that you have suspicions of and you get it cleared up. And when you find out their side of the story, then you have a right to make your judgment. When you find out their side of the story. But this prejudging is where the enemy is taking advantage of us. So, it's impossible to edify one another without love, isn't it? Love edifies where speculations and contentions cannot and does not edify. This all has to do with heresy. Love finds its image where? In God. In Romans 8:28, we can all quote that. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Is that right? What's the key to that verse? Loving God. All things work together to those that love God. Love finds its image in God. The next verse says, until we be conformed to the image of His dear Son. You know, that's what God is looking for in every one of us.
Yes.
That's why this meeting has been real good, hasn't it?
Yes.
God is wanting you and I to be conformed to the image. Mm-hmm. Yes. When He looks down in my heart and your heart, He wants to see His Son there.
Yes.
That's what He wants to see. These kind of things can only happen and develop, folks, through the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. One scripture says, love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Genuine faith. God wants us to be genuine saints. You know, there was a time that I was getting a little discouraged about that word. saints. Seemed like maybe I wouldn't have that problem so much if I just stay home. But when you do a lot of traveling around and you just see so much and you wonder, Lord, where's the saints? Sometimes. There's a lot of saints. Don't get me wrong here. A lot of the saints. Appreciate that. But folks, he wants genuine.
Yes.
Whatever light that you have. Some people, Jesus said this, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Some folk think, in order for me to be perfect, I've got to understand the whole Bible. You only have to be perfect to the light and understanding that you have. That's all God's requiring. He's not requiring any great hard thing out of us, except that the understanding and the light that we receive down in our hearts, walk in that as perfectly as you can. By the grace and the help and the love of God. Love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, without dissimulations. He said here in our readings, he said, swerved aside the vain talking. It is not a new fact to find the least qualified, the most ready to give instruction. See, that brings a few chuckles. You know, I've had, and I don't know much, but I've had folks come up to me that I know are struggling, and they just tell me how everything works. They just, I mean, preach me a little sermon almost sometimes. And I thought, you know, if you would just be quiet and listen and learn. But that's what zeal will do to you if you're not careful. It'll get you running before, and you still should be walking. Or it'll get you walking and you should still be crawling. Lord wants us to, and that's what Paul exhorted Timothy. Understand these things. Get a hold of them. Because they're going to be, read that again. In doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and those that hear thee. Folks, the Word of God is our roadmap. I don't want to get lost. It's clear. And the Word of God is clear, but the enemy wants to cloud that. He wants to darken that. And we've got to be on our guard and not let that happen. One of my suggestions to you this afternoon is love the truth. Love the truth with all your heart. Swerved aside the vain jangling. Oh, I've already said that. It's not a new fact to find the least qualified, the most ready to give instructions. Rusting the scriptures. Oh, we've seen people do that. Using them out of context. Using them for their own benefit to support their own agenda. Reminds me, every time I hear that, it reminds me of when Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. And I tell you, that's human nature. If I want to do something, Brother Clay, if there's something out there I want to do, I can take the Word of God and I can justify myself with it. Don't make it right, does it? Don't make it right. Resting the Scriptures. Vain jangling. The Lord wants us to live what we believe. He wants it acted out into our lives. Want to read a new scripture now. It's found in Titus. Third chapter, verse 8. Paul again now is speaking to Titus. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Whatever you're doing today, if it's pleasing to God, be careful that you maintain that.
Yes.
Keep an up-to-date experience.
Yes.
The grace that you had yesterday is not sufficient for the grace today. You need more grace today. That's why we need to have a prayer life. We must have a prayer life. To maintain good works. These things are good and profitable in the men. But he said avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, back in Paul's day when this was written, the Old Testament's what they had, the law. But today you and I have the law and we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to avoid foolish questions and genealogies. Now, I read the scriptures and then I'm going to discuss them a little bit. They are unprofitable. In other words, they're not going to benefit your soul at all. And they're vain. Proud. A man that is an heretic, after the first and the second admonition,
yes.
What'd Paul tell us to do? Reject him.
Yes.
But Paul, Jesus told us, that do you have aught or something against your brother? Do you go to him? And if they don't listen, then you go get two or three more. If they don't listen, then you tell it to the church. Paul dealt with heretics. He had the experience. And I believe God Almighty allowed these words to be put in our Bibles, in the Holy Writ, for you and I to have an understanding right down in 2009, what we are apt to face today.
Yes.
A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Someone, a heretic, strong in their own conceits, wise in their own esteem, they will not learn, not even for Christ himself, but are always forward to teach some new thing. Now, I've been disturbed the last 3 or 4 years of hearing some teachings that are new. Things I never heard before. And I want to tell you, you all might not have known him, but my pastor was Brother William McCoy, and we called him the Walking King James Version. I don't believe there was any scripture that you needed for your salvation that he could not quote without opening the Bible. The man was... He was awesome. And it was God in him. He had the gift of faith. He absolutely had the gift of faith. And everybody recognized that. But he was a man of prayer. Some of you folks out this way knew Brother Darius Gibson. I love Brother Darius. Good man. I believe he was a man of God. The statement was made that he passed away. Brother McCoy's wife passed away, and several years later, Sister Gibson and Brother McCoy married. And she made the statement, she said, my Darius was a praying man. She said, this Brother McCoy, he's praying all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night, and he's out praying. He prays all the time. There must be some value to that, huh?
Yes.
Always forward to teach some new thing. I believe I got a good foundation. I walked away from it, yes. In my later years, I walked away from it, but I didn't forget the things that I taught. Isn't that what the scripture says? Train up a child in the way he should go. I remembered a lot that Brother McCoy taught me, and many of the other old ministers that came through Dayton, Ohio. But I heard someone bringing out a teaching one time about the Rhema word. Anybody here know what the Rhema word is? Nobody's ever heard of that. Well, this fellow was in his 20s. He heard of it. The Rhema word, according to what he was saying, is the Spirit word. And he brought it out like this. You know in the Bible when it says Jesus was walking across the water and the disciples saw him and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat and he walked on the water, didn't he? Be careful now, you might change your mind. The young fellow said he didn't walk on water. Peter wasn't walking on water. That's what he told us. He was standing right behind one of these. Peter didn't walk on water. And I'm thinking, isn't that what he said, Sister Mary? Sister Mary, she was going along real good there. Amen, amen. And all of a sudden I heard, ooh. Pretty soon, a little later, I heard, this needs to be said. Yeah. He didn't walk on water, but Jesus said, come, and that was the Spirit word. And he walked on the word, come. Can you grasp that? I couldn't either. You don't have to teach or preach the Word of God any deeper than what it is. You don't have to go out here and continually look for some newfangled idea or some new way to say something in order to impress people or become pious like you know more than everybody else does. Actually, I went and talked to him. Actually went on to say, do you know why people continue to go back to Monarch, to the altar, year after year, the same people? Because the ministers don't preach the Spirit word. Wow. You feel the impact? You understand what I'm talking about here this afternoon? This concerns me. And it ought to concern every one of us. I went to him and I said, young fella, where do you get off running down our ministers from the pulpit? You're still wet behind the ears. And you're running down our ministers in the pulpit. Shame on you. You have no business to be doing those kind of things. No business at all to be doing those kind of things. Folks, I've heard many other things too. How you like this one? When Jesus Christ came into the world, He came into the world and became a man. And when He did that, He gave up His divinity. Hello? If I said that, you're going to say, amen, Brother Larry, that's right. When He became a man, He gave up His divinity. Well, that's what He said. Among us. No, I don't go out into the sectarian churches, folks. It's among us. Where'd God say He put His watchman? On the wall. This may be a little old dry afternoon service or sleepy afternoon service, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. What I'm telling you this afternoon, you better take heed to it. because your souls are at stake. I told him Jesus Christ never gave up his divinity. He said when he came out of the water after John the Baptist baptized him is when he received the Holy Spirit. I said, what? Now, what would you do with Brother Larry if I stood up here and preached that kind of stuff? Brother Larry, we don't need you in Pacoima. As a matter of fact, the saints don't need you anywhere. Right? We don't need that, folks. We don't need it. I love the young man. I love his soul. But folks, we don't need that. And I'll tell you one thing. He'll never stand in the pulpit in my congregation and preach anything. He'll never do it. Not as long as I'm alive. Folks, we're going to meet that at the judgment one of these. I don't know where they get it. I know they read a lot of books on philosophy and they get these newfangled ideas. But folks, just preach the pure gospel.
Yes, yes.
The gospel, she said, in its truest, purest form,
yes,
will bring life.
Yes.
That's all the saints want. That's what's going to feed the soul. Stand up here and say, Jesus Christ gave up his divinity. Well, you folks will say, that's enough, Brother Larry. You can sit down now. I know better, and you know better. We don't want to be told things that we know better. You know what that does? That just brings confusion. Sets up thought processes in people's mind. And the devil, you don't know what he's going to do with it. Especially, didn't the scripture say there'll always be weak ones among us? Boy, what's the devil going to do with that? To the weak ones. Well, he's a young whippersnapper and he's coming along pretty good. He must have learned something I didn't know. I'm going to accept that. They value what they invent. They accept no truth that they have not adulterated with their own imaginations. They don't want to be disciples. They want to be masters. When this habit of mind or frame of mind has developed itself, the servant of God must withdraw himself. Folks, when you see someone in this frame of mind, you should withdraw yourself. We do not want to be drawn in by that spirit. Behind every false doctrine is a false spirit. The devil attaches spirits to that. And he will use that in your mind, my mind, and everyone else's mind, if he possibly can. Folks, we're living in, Paul said, perilous time. And it don't have anything to do with the guns and the streets and the countries falling apart. We're living in a perilous time where the enemy is trying to deceive our souls. Get away from that spirit. Don't have no part with it. When honest and gentle efforts to entreat have failed, in a reverential, you deal with his soul or their soul in a proper way, in a practical way, and it becomes evident that there is no desire in their hearts to humble, it's time to back away. The scripture says, from such, turn away. Foolish questions. Here I am taking more time than I thought I was going to. You're just going to have to tolerate it, brother. I'm leaving in the morning. Questions that are not easily answered. Yet, if they're answered, they have no practical bearing upon the Christian life. For example, questions about oral law, the nature of God and His angels, where did God come from, the power of the name Jehovah. Let me tell you this one. The papists, the Roman Catholic Church, the old popes, they discussed for a whole century, 100 years, trying to decide which side of Jesus was pierced by the spear. Does it matter to you? It's the blood that matters to me. I don't know which side he was pierced from, but I know there was blood and water that came out of his side, and that's all I need to know. I don't need to go into that and delve into that, and who cares? It's not important to my salvation. That's what he's talking about in these scriptures. Genealogies, I believe he's speaking of the apostles, linked by the apostles with fables. There's a lot of fables. Contentions and strivings about the law. I need to move on. The contentions and strivings about the law. There were many among the Jews at that time that were respecting the authority and confirmation of the commandments. But they were striving and they were contending with one another over those things. Paul tells us to avoid them. I may be closer than I think here. Oh, no. 1 Timothy 6. 1 through 5. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Doting. In the Greek, doting means to be in an unsound state, a corrupt mind, with a morbid love of questionings and disputing of words. They lose sight of all wholesome words and all godly doctrine. Surmisings in the Greek means suspicions, to think or to suppose. Wranglings, I'm giving you some definitions of these words. Wranglings, provocation, friction, perverse discussion, or disputing. He said bereft. Where does it say that in my reading there? Says it in one of my readings. I thought it was this one. Anyway, bereft is in one of our readings. Destitute. Once had possession of truth, but lost it by their own fault. Over in Jude, the 12th verse, He said, fallen away, and twice dead. Very serious. A heretic is one who forsakes the truth that is held by the church and chooses some doctrine of his own devising. The tendency of such a departure becomes more of a deadly character. It gradually departs wider and wider from the truth. There are some in a habit of mind, frame of mind, out of harmony with the Word of God, they handle everything not with a view to growth and goodness, nor to conform within a humble, pure, and a holy character, but merely as matters of disputation.
Yes.
They raise questions which have no bearing upon our duty to God or man, but give way for strife of words and unprofitable contentions. Now let's say this. I'm going to inject this right here. Folks get unhappy. They get hurts. We heard about hurts this morning. People get hurts and they draw back within themselves and they begin to decide that the church is the problem. I'm hurt and somebody hurt me and all this is going on and that's going on and the church is the problem and the church needs fixing because I'm hurt. You know what I'm talking about. What they need to do is to hear what we heard this morning and get those hurts taken care of and leave the church alone. Because I was taught when I was a little fellow that someone that is on the verge of backsliding, the first thing they do is find fault with the church. That's one of the first things that happens. They begin to find fault with the church. Right there's the sign that I need to do something. I need to do something. This is sad, but it's true. The most solemn truths, the most sacred mysteries of the Christian faith are only food for a wrangling, disputatious spirit. They are ready to suggest doubts or propose new forms of doctrine in lieu of those that were once delivered to the saints. Brother, I believe you mentioned that yesterday too, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'm going to close with this scripture in 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter. Thirteenth verse. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. I'm not an apostle Paul, neither are you. My suggestion is to follow this scripture right here. Admonish. Don't have any company with him as far as his teachings and his doctrines and what he's trying to get across. Stay away from it. But don't count him as an enemy. Admonish him as a brother. You know the old saying, where there's life, there's hope. Folks, I don't want to lose anyone. I don't want to lose anyone. I don't believe the Apostle Paul wanted to lose anyone either. Nevertheless, men are of their own choosing. I believe that what I've given you this afternoon is scripturally sound. I'm willing, if anyone feels like it isn't after service, well, I'm willing to address that, but I believe it's scripturally sound. I said yesterday morning, I love you folks. And I'm going to do everything that God would have me to do to protect and defend your souls by the help of the Lord. There are things, and I could go on and on and on with that. I don't believe that would be edifying. I believe you got the point.
Yes.
You know, people don't need to know everything that's going on like that. Just need to be on your guard. Be aware.
Yes.
Be aware. Apostle Paul said that for a reason over there. After my leaving shall many grievous wolves come in among you, even of your own selves. Bible tells us to try the spirits.
Yes.
Try the spirits. And that's what we need to do. We need to be careful.
Yes.
But I want to tell you what the devil's like. I want to remind you what the devil's like. He will work through the one that you may love the most. One that may be attached to your family. One you might say, well, I can't do that. I can't do it that way. Well, it's your soul is all I can tell you. It's your soul. When the facts are there, remember what I told you about facts, be sure. Before you start believing stuff just because of what people are saying, you do your own investigating.
Yes.
And be sure. Once you're sure, get away from that spirit and run as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Pray for me. I want to be faithful.